It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And, of course, Friday means Paul Feinbaum on our Football Fridays. And, Paul, thank you for joining us again this year. Good morning to you.
Well, guys, it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, I've been joking with Dan because, well, we love all SEC football. But ever since we started talking with you for Football Fridays 2 years ago, only one team has won the national championship, and that's been Dan's Georgia Bulldogs.
Thank you, Paul.
It's been fortunate for him that ever since we started talking to you, they don't seem to lose.
Well, and nothing is about to change, guys. I think we're heading for a three-peat.
You really feel that?
I do, yeah. You know, listen, predictions in August don't matter much, even if it's the final day. But I think they have the easiest schedule in the history of college football, which really should help them, considering I can't see anyone on the schedule, maybe until November, that would even make it an interesting game.
And that game you're referring to, I guess, would be the Tennessee game. That might be their first real test, you're thinking?
Yeah, that game's in Knoxville, and until then, and I know everybody is going to try to manufacture excitement with the game at South Carolina, the game against South Carolina, the game at Auburn. That's fine. I realize you have to come up with a narrative, but I really don't think anybody is in their league at least until then. And even then, I think it's circumstantial. But you know, they have that game, whatever the SEC championship game will be. And they'll essentially have about a four-game season, which, I mean, even in Alabama's greatest moments, they always had something on the schedule. Georgia has nothing.
And no real concerns about the new quarterback, Carson Beck, for you, Paul?
Not because of the schedule. I mean, I think they were starting off with a major game. You might see some stage fright. But, you know, I mean, with two months of practice against Missouri and South Carolina and Auburn and Florida and all these other schools, I think he'll be ready. I frankly think he's ready anyway. I mean, this isn't a guy that just rolled out of high school. He's been there 4 years.
Yeah, good point.
One more on Georgia, and then we'll get to what the people really want to hear, Alabama and Auburn. But it's crazy to me that some of these players that come out of Georgia might get more playing time on some of these NFL teams than they got in Georgia. That's how deep Kirby has stacked this roster. It's just crazy to me.
Well, everything that we talked about 10 years ago at Alabama, and I know this will not go over well, but is now applicable to Georgia. They are deep. They are skill position crazy. Now, by the way, we'll get to Alabama in a minute. I mean, they have plenty of first-round picks on Nick Saban's roster. But I just think overall the depth at Georgia is so massive. And I don't think you can say that about any other school.
Speaking of Alabama, Coach Saban playing a little – I have a secret with his with the press and with his fans. What do you make of that?
Well, I would think much more of it if I think he was really being deceptive. I think he really doesn't know what to say. Mm. And the problem there is the quarterback situation. I fully expect to see Jalen Milroe Saturday night, but what happens after that? And I don't think he's been able to establish what happens next. Depending on everybody's favorite source, and by the way, we all have an uncle who knows somebody who went to practice yesterday. it's Tyler Buckner for a while, then it's Ty Simpson for a while, and I think what he wanted to avoid was saying, okay, one of these two guys, especially if it's Ty Simpson, is third team. That's an invitation to pack it in, go elsewhere. And Saban is trying to guard against that in case Milroe falters, which I think most people expect him to do.
You know, Alabama, a program built on their defense and run game, but they've come into some fantastic receivers over the last few years. The way you've kind of seen this depth chart, well, not that we've seen the depth chart, but you've talked to plenty of people who have a good idea of what this team will look like. Is this offense going to be able to put up the points? I guess it all does depend on how good their quarterback ends up being.
Yeah, I mean, what Nick Saban is trying to do is go back 10, 12 years when Alabama had the best defense in the country, which they don't really have anymore. They have a good defense, But it had better be the elite, because there are a couple of schools on the schedule, Ole Miss being one, Texas, LSU perhaps, that can score a lot of points. And that's something Alabama does not want to get in the middle of. They could do that with Bryce Young. I mean, he could literally manufacture a touchdown at any moment, even with good but not elite receivers. I don't know if we have that luxury right now. And I think that is one reason, if not among several reasons, why you are seeing very few people go all in on Alabama.
It's Paul Feinbaum, Fridays with Feinbaum here on FM Talk 106.5. Now we turn our attention to the only SEC coach that was fitted for a shock collar. maybe part of his agreement at Auburn, that's Hugh Freeze. How quickly does he make that team respectable and then slashed good?
Well, other than Deion Sanders, nobody's had a better offseason, because everybody has said, oh, Hugh Freeze has been great. This is for a guy that was unhireable a couple of years ago. So I give Hugh credit. I don't know how he did it. I think he is fairly charming. I think more than anything, when you consider that Brian Harsin was the coach a year ago, Auburn fans are rejoicing right now because they have a real live coach, and he is. He's an outstanding coach. I don't think this team is great. Auburn fans, I think, are ready to kind of dive back into where they were in the past. I think this is maybe a 7-win team, and depending on all those tweener games. But even that would, I think, considering the debacle that was Brian Harsin, would be viewed as very positive for the Auburn fans.
His recruiting ability, and then you also add in the transfer portal. You said no one's had a better offseason except maybe Deion Sanders, but it seems like with the way this transfer portal works, it's fast. It's you can rebuild quicker than you've ever been able to, and it looks like Hugh Freeze may be on that track.
Well, he's landed a couple of big recruits. You know, what is this roster going to look like, though, is the question. And I don't know. I mean, we probably won't know for a few weeks. And I know everybody can't wait till the first game. And then after the first game, you say, well, you know, we still haven't played anybody. But that's okay. I think the quarterback, Thorne, is good. Everyone is expecting Robbie Ashford to play a role. And I think as long as that happens and things continue to move upward, you know, Auburn's in a really good spot. But the problem they have, and it's an age-old problem in the SEC, is, you know, they're stuck there with about five or six other schools, and if you don't move forward, you're slipping behind. And it is, you know, there's such a big difference between 6-6 and 9-3 in the SEC. And you have a handful of 50-50 games, and how do you manage those? And that's ultimately who moves up and who starts looking for another coach.
Well, another school that you could say is in that same line there of a lot of 50-50 games, and like it's not been a soap opera to start with over at Texas A&M. Now you add Jimbo and Bobby Petrino trying to work together. How is that going to work out?
Well, it's amazing what desperation will do to people, and these two guys needed each other. Jimbo Fisher was trending toward a disaster. And I think he was talked into making a dramatic move. And I think Petrino, I mean, for all of Petrino's baggage, he's a very good offensive coach. And it's just a matter of what happens when things don't go well. I think Jimbo Fisher had to cede some of his power. Now, whether that continues, I don't know. I mean, I've always had a funny feeling about folks who criticize coaches for meddling with the offensive coordinator. If you're the head coach, you probably have every right to meddle. So it's how that marriage goes, and you know, if it goes poorly, then strike up all the Petrino jokes. I've got a few in my back pocket.
Talking with Paul Feinbaum. One more, Paul. I'd love to talk Tennessee, LSU, Florida with you. I'm kind of limited on time, but I wanted to get this one in with Mississippi State and Zach Arnett taking over after the terrible, unfortunate loss of Mike Leach last year. Of course, they went to the bowl game and beat Illinois 19-10. But could you see that community rallying this year around that team because of the loss of Leach and the players involved here, Arnett being his coordinator at the time? is it possible we see something special out of Starkville this year, just based off of what they had to go through last year?
It is possible because they have a chance to really make some headway early on. They have Arizona next week, a very winnable game. Don't ask me what league Arizona is in today, but I know they're in one. And a couple weeks after that, LSU comes in, and that's what I mean. I think that's they have a chance in that game. You know, we'll know more Sunday night with LSU and FSU, but it is something to watch. I mean, Zach Arnett is not a coach that would have literally been on anyone's short list to be the head coach, but special circumstances occurred, and the school really had to do that. Otherwise, everyone was going to bail. But you're right. It could be very interesting to see what happens here.
Paul, thanks again for your time this Friday morning, and we look forward to each Friday in the fall to have a chance to talk with you.
A pleasure, guys. Can't wait till next week.
All right, Paul Feinbaum. You can listen to the Paul Feinbaum Show right here on FM Talk 106.5 every single weekday, 2 to 6 p.m. And Football Friday is brought to you by Bryant Bank, providing a traditional community bank culture while embracing the innovations of today and the changes of tomorrow. We really appreciate Bryant Bank and helping us out with Football Friday every Friday here forward.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.